Good evening. Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Let's stand tonight and sing a couple hymns together. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able. Let's sing together. Trust in the Lord. Let's sing another song along that line. He is able to deliver thee. We haven't sang this in a long time. Great old hymn. He is able to deliver thee.
Thank you. Amen.
Let's go in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word tonight, that you would bless it and nourish our hearts with it tonight. We pray that you grow our faith. Use Brother Roberts and fill him with the Holy Spirit as he preaches. And Lord, I pray that as we pray for our missionaries and all the needs in our church tonight, that you would know our hearts and hear our prayers. And Lord, I pray that you would answer according to your will. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Brother Fury, Pastor Fury. Good time to come aside and rest in prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Missionary letter, Brian and Cindy Thiessen. Leaving Windsor on June 9th, we were all away from home a total of 35 days. Over those 5 weeks, we drove 11,000 kilometers through 20 U.S. states and into British Columbia. We stayed in more than a dozen locations, visited 6 churches, and spoke on 13 different occasions. A busy man. In the course of our travels, we were privileged to participate in the week of candidate training for Baptist missions to forgotten peoples, where several new missionary candidates were welcomed into BMFP family, including the Crevar family, going to Ottawa as church planters, and Dan and Sherry Crumba, working with First Nations people in Alberta. Then he goes on, safety is of the Lord. On our journey home through Utah, we had a narrow escape. After leaving Bryce Canyon about 4 p.m., I noticed a tanker truck following us a little too close on a 2-lane straight highway. A few moments later, the vehicle in front of us showed slowed and signaled a left turn into the shopping plaza. As I was stopping, I glanced up at my rearview mirror, good thing to do. And to my horror, the truck behind us was not. I instinctively pulled forward as far to the left as I could. The truck roared past us on the gravel shoulder, narrowly missing us. After we caught our breath and continued to drive, my wife commented, "I guess God is not finished with us yet." Amen. Amen. I suspected he is not, and I am sure glad that he's not finished. And many of you, you could also talk about accidents that you've nearly had. I could too. The last while, it's a dangerous thing to get on that highway anymore. It seems like there's all kinds of problems. So pray for each other as we travel. Mentoring momentum. This month, we are launching the first 2 mentoring for missions Zoom calls in those who have serious interest in committing their lives to full-time missions. India trip. November is fast approaching, and the final details of my trip to India are being worked on. Pray for wisdom regarding the scheduling of flights, logistics of our time in India, safety as we always, and that the Lord would use us as we teach and minister. Pray that it will be a learning time for missionary prospects traveling with us, as well as Pastor Brad Friesen and myself. Pray that God will deeply impress on our hearts the desperate need in our area of this world. In addition to the recent marriage, these are family updates, of our youngest daughter, we are also blessed by the fact that within a few short weeks, we will welcome 2 new grandchildren into the family. Caleb and Lizzie are expecting their second son due on September 1st. Aaron and Teresa are expecting their first child, a daughter, on September 7th. We would appreciate your prayers for safety, for safe deliveries for them both. Let's have a word of prayer for the Thiessens. Lord, we're so thankful for this family And Lord, we do pray for these new grandchildren, Lord, that they would grow up, Lord, and be saved at an early age. We pray that you'd continue to give the Teasons safety as they travel around. Thank you, Lord, that they were not hurt or into a serious accident. We pray for this candidate training school, Lord, that you would bless. Pray for the Indian trip and the new mentoring momentum, Lord, that things would go well there. So, Lord, I just pray that your blessing would be upon them. Bless the service tonight. Bless Brother Robert as he preaches. Thank you for the songs that we can sing, a song in our heart, our God to glorify. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for that song. Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 16. Psalms chapter 16 and verse 5 and 6. Psalms chapter 16. Verses 5 and 6. This psalm is written by David, and he says this: The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you again that we can gather here tonight and open the Bible. And Lord, to just look into your word for some encouragement and some strength. Father, thank you for all your blessings that you've given us, all because of our salvation through Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we pray, help me to bring out these thoughts that I have and to, Lord, bring glory and honor to your name. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Here in this passage, David is kind of doing a spiritual or a blessing survey of his life. There are times when it is good for a Christian to survey just how good God is to them. You know, there are times in your life, if you own a piece of property, maybe where your house is, or maybe you own other property, that you might want to get a land survey. Sometimes people get a survey because there's a contention on the lot line. Someone has built a fence, and maybe there's a disagreement where the fence should be. So they'll get a survey. Sometimes you want to sell a piece of property, and you want to get a survey to find out exactly where that is and what the lot is, the size of it, and also to be priced accordingly. Another reason, you may have a lot, and you want to survey it because you're going to add an addition to your home. And so you need to know exactly where the property line is so you can make that addition and not break any building codes or local codes in the municipality. And these are good, aren't they? Surveys are good. It's good to know where the property line is because over time, things change, don't they? Our memories fade and we say, well, the lot line's here. Well, the tree has fallen down or... things have changed a little bit, trees have grown up, and we're not sure. So it's good to know where that line is. And usually in Ontario, from my understanding, at the corners of your lot, there is a post, a metal post that should be there somewhere. It could be covered up, but there should be a metal post that tells, you know, the surveyor or anyone who sees it, this is the property line. And so there are times we need surveys. When was the last time you took a measurement of God's blessings in your life? When was the last time you just thought about the blessings of God and how much he has blessed you in your life? David described his life. He described his relationship to the Lord in verse 5. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. What's he saying there? He's saying this. The greatest possession he has is the Lord. That's what he's saying there. The Lord is my possession. Of course, he's referencing a lot, isn't he? A parcel of land. We know from Bible history that when the children of Israel entered the land of Canaan, after they conquered the land to some extent, then Joshua and the elders began to give an allotment of the land. They surveyed it. They took measurements. They put down landmarks. And they said, okay, this belongs to this tribe. And they divided it down. This belongs to this clan. They divided it down further. This belongs to this family. And those possessions of land were treasured. They were possessions that were treasured because that was their land given to them from the Lord. And they were handed down from generation to generation. And so David is saying, listen, more valuable than a piece of land is my relationship with my God. He is my portion. He is the blessings that God has given to me. And David had taken a spiritual survey of his life. And he realized God had extremely blessed him through his years. So tonight, I would like to look at three blessings we have received from the Lord Jesus Christ. Three blessings. Number one, the blessing of relationship. The blessing of relationship. Notice it says in verse 1, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." Here, David knew who it was that protected him, who it was that provided for him. He knew it was the Lord. It was the Lord who preserved him through his life, who sustained him. The Lord was his refuge. It was his place. The Lord he could go and hide. He could run to in time of trouble. And so he said, "The Lord preserved me, and I put my trust in him." Not only that, but notice what it says in verse 2. "O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord." He said, my soul, my spirit. All right? I belong to God. He is my Lord. And so what? David considered his relationship with the Lord was more valuable than any parcel of land that could have been inherited through his family. It was his relationship to the Lord that gave him all the blessings in his life, right? It was not his lineage that made him king over Israel. Actually, you know, he was from the tribe of Judah. And he was born to a well-known tribe in Bethlehem. Boaz was in his lineage, great man of God. But it was God that put him on the throne of Israel. It was God who came to David one day and said, listen, through the prophet, and said, I'm going to give you an everlasting kingdom. I'm going to give you an everlasting throne. That came from God. That didn't come from any lineage. And so he recognized the fact that anything he had received of the Lord was because of his relationship with the Lord. That God was his God. Folks, our highest privilege in this life, you're saying, well, boy, wouldn't it be privileged to be in royalty? Wouldn't it be privileged to be connected with men of great stature, of great families? Listen, the greatest privilege in the world we have today is to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Yeah. Nothing is greater. There is no privilege greater than the fact that we belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. And let's don't forget that blessing. That is a blessing of God. And so often we take that for granted, don't we? So often we forget that. But we belong to our King. We belong to our Lord and our Savior. And let's don't forget, one day we will rule and reign with Him. When we get to heaven, what a blessing to know that he is a wonderful Savior. And there is a blessing of relationship. Point number two, the blessing of companionship. There's another blessing. Notice David says in verse 3, "But to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight." David was not ashamed to be numbered with God's people. David, you know, he recognized the fact that God had called Israel to be a separated and unique nations among the world. He had called them out of the Gentile nations, and he had called them, as it says in Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, they were to be a holy nation, peculiar possession. That they would be set apart for God to be an example and a testimony to the world. How sad it was that basically they failed, didn't they? They were not a holy nation for very long. They never could really get away from the idol worship and following the false gods. Notice what he says here in verse 4. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. David says, even though the children of Israel are worshiping these false gods, I will not partake. I will not even mention the gods by their name from my lips. But praise the Lord, there was the remnant. Amen?
Amen.
God has always had a remnant.
Amen.
Of faithful, believing people who love God, who follow Him, who obey His commands. And David says, I'm numbered with the saints.
Amen.
And I am part of those that excellent, all right, that noble people, he says, that follow the Lord. And he was not ashamed to be part of them and to be numbered with them. It was his delight to worship with them and to be with them. Today the church is full of redeemed people. The New Testament calls us saints and brethren. We are companions in the body of Christ. We, like Israel, have been called out of this world. We are the called out body of Christ. Those who are saved, we have been called out of this world to come and to partake and to be a part of this wonderful organization, this organism called the church. What a blessing. And here we can gather together. And yes, we are a holy people and a peculiar people sometimes. As it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Let's go there. Let's look at that verse. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That's us. That's the saved. We are those people. And we are the excellent ones. Not that we think we're any better than anyone else. No. We're sinners saved by grace. That's all we are. But in the eyes of God, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are His children. We're part of the royal family. Now the problem is, we're in constant contact today with the unsaved, are we not? We're in contact with them, we rub shoulders with them, and we live in a fallen world. And yes, it is difficult to live a holy life. It is difficult to fulfill these obligations that God has put on us to be a peculiar people, to be a holy nation, to live a separated life. Yet, we know from the Word of God, it can be done. God would not ask us to do that if we couldn't do it. He's given us His Spirit. We have the Word of God. And so, therefore, God has called us as the church, as the body of Christ, to be the salt and light of this world. Turn with me to Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. In verse 13. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. He says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We are called to be a testimony. And power of God. Our minds can be transformed. Not only are we to be salt light, but the Bible says, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may, goes on to say, that you may know and do the good, the acceptable, and perfect will of God. So we can transform our mind from that old life, that old nature, to be obedient to the Word of God. We can live in a fallen world through biblical separation from sin and not be defiled. We might not be defiled by sin. These are the blessings. And God has given us the church to help and encourage one another, that we might live this separated life. So let's don't forget the companionship that we have in the church. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we encourage one another. And we help one another. We pray for one another. That we might live a life that is pleasing to God. What a blessing. The church is a blessing. Let's don't forget that. And then point number three, the blessing of fellowship. Let's go back to Psalm chapter 16. Psalm chapter 16, and notice what it says in verse 7. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Someone said this. David's personal fellowship with the Lord was his greatest joy. David had fellowship with the Lord. He fellowshiped with his God. It was not just a relationship, but it was a fellowship there. There was a communion there that he had with his God. He says there that he had fellowship with God in times when he needed counsel, right? Now, is that what he said in verse 7? I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. David says, there have been times when I've gone to God not knowing what I should do. How should I solve this problem? How should I direct? Where should I go? What should I do? And he says, listen, that was a sweet fellowship with the Lord, going to him and desiring his counsel. Not so much, too much to the point where he says, my reins also instructed me in the night seasons. He says, boy, the best time of communion, the best time of fellowship I had with the Lord was when I went to night school. Remember those days? Night school? He says, in the nighttime, he would seek the counsel of the Lord. On those sleepless nights, he sought God. And God was there for him. He directed him and guided David in his life. And David said those were sweet times of fellowship. Then he says also in verse 7, my reins also instruct me. Verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. Not only in the times of counsel, but how about the times of chastening? A lot of times we don't look at that as sweet fellowship with the Lord, do we? You know, nobody likes chastening. Hebrews chapter 12, right? 1 to 12. Nobody likes chastening. But yet David said, oh, that was good fellowship. Because he understood the purpose of chastening, right? He's understood the purpose of the discipline. He understood the fact that God cared about him and God loved him. And God took the time to correct him in his life like he does us. And so let's don't resist the chastening of the Lord. Let's let him work in our life. Let's let him guide and direct us and mentor us. And be willing to repent as David did. And be willing to remain close to the Lord and humble ourselves. and draw close to Him. David was committed to keeping the Lord first in his life because he knew God was his defender and his advocate. Verse 8, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Amen. It was God, David said. God is my, he is my defender. He is at my right hand. And so someone said this, the future is your friend when Jesus is your Lord. Amen. Christian, are you close in fellowship with the Lord today? Are you walking with the Lord? Oh, you say, well, I'm a Christian. I know. You're a Christian, but you got the relationship. I'm a member of the church. Yeah, yeah, you're part of the church. That's good. That's a blessing. But how is your fellowship? Are you walking with the Lord? A close fellowship with God will bring comfort and inner strength as we face the future. Are you overwhelmed by your future tonight? Are you wondering what's going to happen? You're wondering what's going to happen to you? The best thing to do is just draw close to God. Get as close as you can to the Lord. Fellowship with Him. Because when you have the Lord, like David, you can say, He is at my right hand. He is my defender. He is my advocate. And isn't that what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7? Didn't Paul say, the peace of God that passes understanding. What a blessing. You know, folks, that's a blessing. What price can you put on that? What price can you put on the peace of God in times of an uncertain future? Every believer is responsible to recognize and to be a good steward of the spiritual blessings God has given to them. David looked at his life and how God had blessed him. And he recognized that everything he had, all he possessed, and David possessed great wealth. He was a wealthy man. He managed a wealthy nation. But he said, it's the Lord, my greatest possession. And David recognized that to have the wealth of this world, to have all the riches and all the land that God had given him, and not have the Lord, it was poverty. He was impoverished. He had nothing without God. And that's so true today. Yes, yeah, sometimes it's hard to appreciate the blessings of God. Because you know what? Christians don't get a parcel of land as our inheritance. That doesn't happen. That's not our time. But yet, the blessings that God has given us are just as real. Amen. They're just as valuable in a spiritual way than those blessings were in the Old Testament. Sometimes we fail to observe them easily. Sometimes because they're not physical in nature. And so therefore, we have to take a deep appraisal, a survey of our life, and ask ourselves, how has God blessed me? And can we count the blessings? Let's count the blessings in our life that we might measure the scope and the height and the length and the depth of God's blessings in our life. They are allotted to us. They are our portion from the Lord. And some of them we have received here. And some we will receive in heaven that are far beyond our imagination could ever comprehend. And so our blessings are greater than any lot or parcel of land this earth could ever give us. Like David, may we say, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. I'm going to ask Lori to come to the piano, and I'd like to sing a chorus. And the song is called, I Shall Not Be Moved. I'll start singing. You can sing if you want to, but you might know the song. If you know the song, you're welcome to sing with me. Okay? I shall not be moved.
I shall not be moved. I shall not. I shall not be moved like a tree planted by the water. I shall not be. Sing the verse, when my cross is heavy, when my cross is heavy, I shall not be moved. When my cross is heavy, I shall not be moved like a tree planted by the water. I shall not be. Another verse is, when my burden's heavy, when my burden's heavy, I shall not be moved. When my burden's heavy, I shall not be moved like a tree planted by the water. I shall not be. If my friends forsake me, if my friends forsake me, I shall not be moved. If my friends forsake me, I shall not be moved like a tree planted by the water. I shall not be.